Well, grace and peace to you, children of God. I have a question for all of you. Go ahead and raise your hand if any of you are fishing people. Do any of you like to go fishing? Oh, there we go. There's a couple of you, yes. Whether you're going on vacation or whether you're working or whether it's a hobby, there are many different kinds of ways to go fishing. So I am a fisher person. I grew up in Minnesota on a lake, and I loved nothing more than going out and catching fish. From when I was little, before I could use a hook, I would just take a piece of yarn and put it off the deck right at the end of the dock to try to catch those sunfish. To later, when I would use a spoon to throw out into the lake and sometimes would end up with those northern pike with way bigger teeth than I was ready for. It's always been fun to go fishing. Now, it was my dad who taught me how to clean and cook and delight in the taste of fresh caught fish. He's always been a thoughtful and careful outdoorsman, so he taught me how to be very careful and kind to these creatures and how to thank God for the meal. Or if it was a little too small, let it go. Or a little too big, you'd have to let it go too. When we were in Minnesota, we usually hoped for a certain kind of fish. The Minnesota best was a good old walleye. But we also liked sunnies and bass and bluegill when we could catch them, as long as we didn't catch what we called those dirty rotten perch. Because in Minnesota, the dirty rotten perch are just really small, and they steal your bait, and they're not good eaten. Now, when we look at our gospel lesson today, I have to wonder if that's a little bit how Jesus' disciples were feeling as they were out in the boat, as though their bait had been stolen, as though they were lost and floating adrift, feeling discouraged and hopeless. Because it was just a few days after Good Friday that they were out on the lake, and they were probably still feeling shell-shocked from that loss and that violence. And they had put all of their stake into following this so-called Messiah, but then he had died on a cross. And now, even worse, both the religious leaders and the government were coming after them to make sure there wouldn't be a rebellion from Jesus' followers, so they were hiding out in fear of death. So now they're trying to get back to their regular life and work, going fishing, and trying and probably failing to pretend that nothing big and world-changing had just happened. Now, I don't know about you, but I find it pretty difficult to go back to regular life after something big happens in my world. After something like a death or a funeral, it can be really hard to get back in touch with that everyday rhythm. It's not very possible, especially in those first few days. So for fear of their lives and grief of their loss and disorientation to the world around them, the disciples are out in the boat. And just to add a little salt in the wound, they don't have a single fish in their net. But that's where this changes. That's where this becomes a story of Easter and new life and resurrection. Suddenly, swiftly, at the presence of Jesus, everything begins to rise up and change for the better. Just like when you're out fishing and you have a finger on the line and you get that sudden, swift tug that says there's something coming, the disciples feel a sudden, swift tug on their hearts as they catch this glimpse of hope on the horizon. Jesus, although they don't know that it's Jesus yet, is standing upon the shore. And he's calling out to them, offering words of inspiration and encouragement, even as they are feeling lost, adrift, and uncertain. "Hey, you guys," Jesus calls. "Hey, children, cast your nets over here. You're sure to catch something good." Now, those are pretty big words for someone who's standing on the shore and who hasn't been fishing all night and feeling tired. It might sound like quite the fish tale that you're going to have your nets filled up to bursting. And I imagine that the disciples had some objections. Who is this guy? What makes him certain? And probably some doubts. Yeah, right. After all night, there's nothing to catch. And yet, something reels them in. Something tugs on their hearts and makes them just enough to be hopeful in these words of resurrection that are being offered. So they say, "All right, let's go for it. Cast those nets towards the shore." And you know something? Jesus Christ makes good and delivers on his promise. In their moment of fear, in their season of doubt, in their time of restless waiting and longing, the disciples take a moment to pause for hope. And Jesus Christ shows up right where they are in love and in grace abundant to meet them. The disciples fill up their nets, first just a bit, then to bursting. Their heavy, sad sighs of disappointment are transformed into gasps of surprise and then shouts of joy. And at the sight of this promise fulfilled, the disciple whom Jesus loves and Simon Peter recognize just who it is. They're filled with brilliant Easter morning hope as it dawns on them who's standing on the shore. That's our Savior. That's our God of new life. And with a truly weird and wild kind of abandon, we see Simon Peter put his clothes back on to jump into the lake so that he can swim right to his Savior. And when he splashes onto that beach shore, it's even more wonderful than he could have hoped for. Because it is Jesus. He is risen and alive. And with his hands still marked from the sign of the cross, he welcomes his friends to a feast of love, a fish fry breakfast on the shore, as they celebrate death defeated, God's promises fulfilled, and that all that has been lost is now being restored. People of God, fellow disciples of Jesus, hear this good news once again. Jesus Christ, our living and risen Savior, is here, alive and among us, making good on his promises, fulfilling the kingdom of God, bringing about new life and resurrection today on this Easter season morning and all the days of our lives. No matter what doubt you are holding inside of you, no matter what shame or sadness or grief is weighing you down, whatever loss or lostness or burdens are on your journey out in your boat, hear this promise fulfilled. Christ is risen and alive. His grace is abundant, and it is for you. Jesus steps into our world, onto our lakeshore, and shouts out words of caring direction and encouragement so that you might know the fullness of life. Jesus prepares a feast through the bread and the wine that we taste at communion and invites us as a family to dine with him at the table. Jesus prepares a blessing through the waters of baptism as we splash our way towards Jesus and invites us to remember God's loving promise. And Jesus prepares a fellowship for us in the body of Christ as we gather here together for worship and go out into the world to share these words of resurrection, witnessing the good news to one another again and again. The risen and living Christ shows up in our world with words of resurrection, and we are invited in our own little boat to rub our sleeping eyes, to listen to what he has to say, and to take that chance, to answer that tug on our hearts, to suspend our doubt, and cast out our nets into the water. Because there is so much abundance with God's love in store. So for the bravery to take that chance on Jesus and to look for him in our lives, we pray together in his holy name. Amen.